What was that?
What?
What's that sound?
Where?
It's aliens and they're living in your town. They have arrived. They're all around. So many aliens living in your town.
Hello, weirdos out there in Weirdo Land. It is the Weird Whenever podcast. Unfortunately, tonight we have no Vicky. She had some kind of impromptu emergency. I didn't ask for details, but she had sent us a text message about 3 hours ago. We hope she is good, but she's not going to make it tonight. Vicky, our warm wishes are with you. Filling in her place tonight on some of the commentary will be our new producer, Birdney. You? She'll be joining us in a minute or two. We have a lot to get to, gentlemen. A lot to get to. Last week, we talked about women, whether they should be going braless out in public without the shirts on. A lot of topics, or I'm sorry, a lot of opinions on this topic, Denny's. Did you see the comments from the people?
I flipped through a few of them. I'm glad people are outspoken about things.
So we won't spend a lot of time on this. Basically, we were talking about just, you know, should everyone be able to have their shirt off everywhere? And most people said, yeah, everyone should have their shirt off. Unfortunately, they don't think some dudes could handle it, though.
If they were dating the person?
They just think if somebody was shirtless out in public, that there's just some guys that would not be able to handle it.
Well, I think it's an adjusting. It's like if you were to allow a certain drug to be legal, I think everyone would just go.
It's a period of time.
Yeah, because I think one of the studies, Denny's probably knows the statistic. In Amsterdam, they don't really have many drug overdoses because it's almost like it's allowed, right? And then what happens with kids that haven't been allowed to drink their whole lives, they go away their freshman year and they get alcohol poisoning because they don't know how to handle it. So I think that there's always going to be, if you just went from one rule to the dramatic opposite, like there's going to be a reaction for a while till people get sensitized to it.
Yeah.
Majority of the opinion was, I think everyone should be able to go shirtless, but we don't think everybody could handle people going shirtless.
Yeah.
That was the number one. Am I right, Birdney? Yeah, that's pretty much the number one. Then other people are like, no, cover it up. That is not right.
Well, some people, like, some guys don't even like their girlfriend going without a bra under her blouse or shirt. Like, that bothers guys because people get jealous, even if they're dating the girl.
Would that bother you, Denny's, if Jen had no bra on? She wants to just freeball it, nipple style?
She wears those pasties a lot. She actually goes braless a lot.
I mean,
not to out her.
I didn't know we were gonna go so deep into the personal level here. But, all right.
What is that?
I don't know. Everybody looked at you at the same time. I didn't know a lot of people wore pasties, but hey, look, there's no judgment here. I think it's great.
Yeah.
2020, wear some pasties.
This is what we talk about on polls now.
Well, I think it's just a replacement for the Band-Aids. You know what I mean? Like, you can just, you know, if you're a girl and you have nice breasts, like, you don't have to worry about it, right? Like, you don't have to have a push-up bra, whatever. So all you need is the Band-Aid.
What's the creepiest word to describe breasts, in your opinion?
The creepiest word
to... If you were trying to be creepy.
I mean, okay, let's see here. Let's play. I mean,
to me, it's the TITS word. Like, to me, I don't even like saying it. It just sounds like,
depending on who's saying it. Hey, let me see your titties. I mean, that's pretty creepy.
I think applying the word supple to him makes it so creepy.
That's an adjective. Yes, I thought you wanted the actual.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take anything.
Yeah, no, I supple.
It just became the man show.
Yeah, Vicky, get your ass back here. No, we're not going to spend too much time on that topic, but I did want to, because people get on my ass about we bring up a topic and then we never cover it on the back end. So I just wanted to let the audience know, majority of the audience thinks, yes, women should go topless, but they don't think some men could handle it. I kind of wanted to go ahead and jump into some Denny's random facts right off the bat today.
Oh, yeah?
So I think it might be time for some
Denny's random facts.
Give it to us, baby.
Well, lucky for you, I have it up right now. Check this out. So in 1942, there was a man called the Phantom Barber. He would sneak into people's homes in Mississippi at night, and he would cut their hair. Sometimes he would cut a lot of hair. Sometimes he would just cut a little bit of hair. But that happened for like 3 years, and nobody knew who it was. And then this man was caught sneaking into the house cutting hair, and something went wrong, and he hit the owner with a lead pipe, and it led to his arrest.
Oh, man.
And he was put into jail, and they called him the Phantom Barber. It's what pretty... a weird, like, Scooby-Doo style mystery.
That's way more messed up than Scooby-Doo. just if you're playing at home, or playing along at home, remember Denny's gives the factoid. We give him a grade after each factoid. I give that an A because I think it's creepy. And there are a few serial killers out there where that was their MO. There's this one picture where this girl is...
It's her final moment.
It's her final moment, and her hair's all jacked up, and she's in this barn. And it's the serial killer took a picture in her last moments. He made her put on this other woman's dress as he cut her hair. And that was her last moments. And that thing's all over the internet.
That picture, like, it sits with you.
It's a haunting picture. It's one of those things you can't get out of your mind. That's going to be a topic later on in the show today. Ooh. Things you've seen in your life that they're forever in your memory. When you close your eyes at night, they're still there.
Oh, I got one.
All right, Denny, I give you an A on that.
Yeah, don't you think it's weird that someone could do something? Because he's not killing people. He was just cutting people's hair. Aside from breaking into their house, which was messed up and obviously illegal. Like, what if there was a law not against cutting someone's hair?
And, I mean, it was 1942.
Right? He's not really doing anything illegal. I mean, it's obviously wrong. People are going to be pissed about it.
You're out of your mind. That's complete assault.
It is assault.
Imagine somebody breaking into your house.
Cutting my hair.
And cutting Beckett lockets. Are you shitting me? That's a crime.
It kept happening and people couldn't solve it. They had no idea. There was no leads until they got into that confrontation with that one couple.
But what if it was a nice haircut?
Well, then it's great.
All right, chat room. let us know in the comment section below. If somebody breaks into your house and cuts your hair, you're the judge. How many years should they go away? Do they go away to jail? Do you just give them a slap on the wrist? Is it just a ticket? Do they do hardcore time? Judge Whopper over here, if you break into my house and you cut someone's hair, 5 years at min. 5 years min.
It's such an invasion.
You can't cut people's hair. Come on.
Well, I'm glad that one fueled it up a little bit.
I love it. Birdie, come on in the conversation.
Yeah, here. You can rate these, too.
You just have to slide back in there when we do the videos.
That's what she said.
Oh!
Walks right into it with a one-liner.
That was one of the best what she said we've had, maybe, on the podcast.
I mean, I try not to brag.
Wow. Raising the bar.
Birdie, well played. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
All right, Dennis, give us another one.
So what do you think? This one I kind of pulled for you, Bird. Carl Sagan's team wanted to include the Beatles song Here Comes the Sun on the Voyager Gold record. It was the disc containing greetings in 60 languages, music, and sounds from Earth aboard Voyager spacecraft launched in 1977. But the record company EMI, which held the copyrights, declined it.
Damn.
Because of copyright.
Do you guys know that song, Here Comes the Sun?
Here comes the sun.
That one. Doo 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 doo.
Yep. It's a
jam.
Here comes the sun.
It's great.
Oh, that's Beckett. It's all right. Version. Beckett's got really nice hair.
Yes.
I like that.
So what do you guys, what's my rating on that one?
I like it. I give it a
B plus.
I give it a B. Right. Solid B. Right. I feel like you are trying too hard to kiss my ass. It's a little desperate.
I get it. I get it. Does this, let's see, does this put you guys' minds at ease? CNN has a tape recorded to broadcast as the world is ending, if it ever happens. An intern discovered it in 2009. It was recorded in the 1980s. The echo you hear is the headphones. We should put something over the headphones over there.
Yeah, Birdie, if you don't mind, could you put those Ritz toasted chips over the ear part of the headphones?
Yeah, just put it on.
We're
that.
Just getting a little feedback. We apologize at home. Denny's as you were.
Can I just mute it? No, you just put the headphones over that bag of chips. Yeah, there you go. That way.
We'll edit all this out.
Yeah. So, what do you think of that? CNN has a tape recorded to broadcast as the world of the end of the world is happening.
What does that mean, though?
So they have a broadcast already ready to go, as if the world was ending. They would play this broadcast on loop. It's already it's already recorded in the 1980s.
Wouldn't it be outdated, though?
It would be now. An intern in 2009 found it while cleaning out the storage records.
I mean, you got old CNN reporters in breakdancing outfits.
It was in the 1980s.
It's 82.
It's so funny, though.
Madonna's just playing in the background.
When did the Cold War end? Around the
Then you had the Desert Storm in the 90s. We were always at war.
Let's break this down with movies. Cold War. You've got the 1980 hockey team. Mm-hmm. The Kurt Russell movie.
Yeah,
the Disney
Miracle.
That was 1980. We still hated the Russians then.
Still hated the Russians. Top Gun. Then hated the Russians.
Yeah. Top Gun. We didn't like the Russians. Then I think something happened after Top Gun. We were okay with the Russians. I remember Gorbachev was in a Genesis video. It's so funny how so many people get their history from movies and videos.
Yeah.
Music videos.
It's true.
When did we start hating Russia again?
I think it was during Mitt Romney when he was running for president.
All right, this has already gotten way too political.
He said that was the biggest threat, and everyone laughed at him. Everyone thought he was crazy. And now that they're remaking Top Gun 2, the interesting thing is we're back to tensions with Russia, so it's almost the similar premise, if you think about Top Gun 2, as to what was going on in Top Gun 1.
All right, chat room, another question. I want to get a lot of interaction. When you watch a Rocky 4 today, isn't Ivan Drago, does it trigger you? Does it make you very upset because we don't like Russia now? I don't love that kid.
Well, since we're on the topic, I'm going to throw out a Top Gun fact for you. Oh,
nice.
Amazing. Wow. Look at that. Well-oiled machine. We got Birdie coming in with the one-liners. We got Denny's with the Top Gun.
It's amazing.
So Top Gun was produced in collaboration with the Pentagon to rebrand the U.S. military's image post-Vietnam War and to attract new Navy recruits. Top Gun was the first full-blown collaboration between Hollywood and the U.S. military.
Wow. It worked.
So it was used as a campaign in order to entice people.
Propaganda.
Yeah. All right, little quiz. Top Gun fans out there. Mm-hmm. When Maverick is hooking up with Kelly McGillis in the movie, they finally make love. Mm-hmm. What is the song?
Take my breath away.
No! You have to sing it, Beckett. 3, 2, 1.
Take my breath away.
Keep going. Cut. Nailed it.
That's a cool scene too, because you see their silhouette in the light.
Well, that is a lot of French kissing in that, sensual French kissing. Mm. If you don't know the movie, we highly recommend Top Gun. Make sure you watch the lovemaking scene. Denny's, keep going.
Everything's very supple in it.
very supple.
It makes everything creepy.
Supple is a terrible word. Almost as bad as moist.
Yes. That one's rough.
That's funny. People do not like the word moist.
We said moist on the air today. Kevin said it, then I followed up with it. We got like 9 hate emails on it.
People really don't like that word.
Do you not like it as much as damp? Or like soggy though. I feel like those are worse synonyms.
Actually agree with you. I actually think damp is worse than moist, but I feel like this is like people are one side or the other on this.
Here's my question. What are we talking about? Okay, let's play a game.
All right, apply it to something.
That sub is so damp.
Ew.
That sub is so moist.
That sounds better.
Moist sounds better with food.
Those panties are so damp.
Right? Damp is so much worse than
moist.
Much
worse.
What about saturated?
I'm excited for you to say.
All right, let's play. All right.
I'm excited for you to say the next thing.
That sub is so saturated. Those panties are so.
Saturated is rough.
Yeah.
Terrible.
That's the way you describe a bad fat. Saturated. Fat.
Oh. Or if you, like, you know, shit yourself. You're like saturated.
All right. Well, this podcast has gone off track. All right. Dennis, give us a.
All right, let's get back.
Give us two more really, you know, great facts.
Let's see. You weigh less if you visit certain areas in Canada, namely the Hudson Bay area and parts of Quebec, because there's less gravity there than other parts of the world. Scientists have studied it. They've tried to figure it out. They have two theories. One is that it used to be covered in ice, and as the world heats up, the ice has melted a little bit, bringing it closer to the equator, and they're assuming maybe that gives it less gravity. That's just one theory. The other one is just that it is a low point in height. It's so low, it kind of is like concave, I guess you would call it, and that it's closer to the core. Another theory they have, the magnets are off in that area. It's weird. They can't figure it out.
He should have told this before we filmed Rebuilding Bird 2. We should have weighed you in the lower part.
People know that we're talking about with that Beckett, but I will.
Yeah, it hasn't even come out yet, Beckett.
Yeah, Beckett. I mean, spoiler alert. Last week you spoiled the Joker. This week you're spoiling our KBJ video of the week. No one's going to give a shit to watch.
So we're just teasing a little.
All right, here's a fun one. The bikini swimsuit. Do you guys know why it's called that?
No idea.
All right, so the bikini swimsuit was introduced 4 days after the first nuclear device was detonated over the Bikini Atoll, which is a circle of islands named Bikini. He hoped that the swimsuit revealing style would create an explosive commercial and cultural reaction, similar to the reaction of the nuclear bomb, which inspired it. And actually, the place is called Bikini, which is surface of coconuts. After they bombed it, it looked like the surface of coconuts. Hmm. Huh. Weird, right? You would never think it was named after a nuclear.
All this propaganda today.
Oh, a lot of things were bikini.
A lot of things were inspired back then by, you know, things going on in the world, which was war. So a lot of nuclear stuff. People were worried about being bombed. People were worried about being radiated.
Is that why they're called bombshells?
Bombshells. I think they call them bombshells because they used to paint girls onto them.
Why, if you watch old... If you watch
and then
old...
See, when you say that girl's a real bombshell, she's good enough looking to be on a bombshell that's painted by the soldiers. Why? I believe that's the etymology of that.
So maybe one of you movie buffs can answer me this. Why, when you watch old school movies, I'm talking like in the 50s or the 40s, when they talk about a woman's breast, they go... Ah, va 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 voo! Why do they always go va 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 voo?
It must be some French adaptation.
Could you imagine in today's day and age? We're over at Twin Peaks, me and Beckett. A girl walks by, like, "Hey, Beckett,
2020, bird."
Va 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 voo!
No way.
Well, even if we're just talking to each other, I guess I just don't get the origin.
And why do they call them catcalls? You know, because that's catcalling, right? When you're saying, like,
I mean, I think I can figure it out, Beckett.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try to get that kitty.
All right, Denny's, good job. Very, very nice job. Very nice job.
Awesome.
I want to go ahead and shift gears here. Here's an email from one of our listeners. Dear Weird Whatever, Jason, I captured some Bigfoot audio when I was down in the Everglades. Let me know what y'all think. I saw it scamper in front of my crew. I guess he was with his crew.
His boys.
His entourage. But couldn't capture it on camera. You know, it's funny. They never do, Beckett. We have just the audio. Tell me what you guys think. We kept on hearing it cry throughout the night. Denny's, play the audio. Hip-hop. So what you're listening for...
It's that high pitch.
In the distance, it almost sounds like an ambulance. That's what they're claiming...
Here, I'll play it right again.
...is the Bigfoot sound.
That noise.
It sounds like the paramedics.
Yeah. Or a scream.
Or a bird.
I mean, it sounds like a screech. It could be an owl.
All right, keep playing it, Dennis, because it does go on for a minute.
You want me to go past?
Yeah, just let's see how terrible this clip
is. It's pretty long. There's another good one.
All right, that's enough.
The intervals don't feel like an ambulance to me.
All right, so let's go around the round table real quick. Is that good Bigfoot audio, or is it shit Birdney vote?
The dirtiest stump I've ever had.
Dirtiest dump?
She thinks it's horrible.
The dirtiest dump you've ever... Oh, my God, Birdney. So you're not a fan of the cliff, right?
She hated it, I guess.
Beckett, by the way, Beckett, you were blowing half of our audience speakers out.
I was starting to lean back when I laughed.
All right, Beckett.
I think it's bad just because I don't know... I've never heard that be claimed as a Bigfoot sound. Are Bigfoot supposed to scream?
I wouldn't think they'd shriek like that.
There's reports Bigfoot shrieking, crying.
They seem more masculine. They're like big, they're muscular, they're, you know.
That's not true. They're very fluid.
They're very feminine.
Beckett. All right, Denny's.
It's 2020.
I mean, that could be an owl, it sounds like.
An owl? Yeah. I don't know. An owl on cocaine, maybe.
I don't know, man. They screech pretty loud.
By the way, owls can kind of be dicks. They are. Owls,
really?
Yeah. Owls are not that sweet.
They're pretentious.
You see the picture on the potato chip? Oh, the owls. He's so cute. or she's so cute, they'll screw you over, man.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of personality an
you know owl that is. Common thing that happens with owls.
Owls screwing people over. It sounds like they're screwing over on their tech.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the next one. Birdney, I had to do some research on this one. We want to weaken a witch. Yeah. I want to weaken Virginia. I really do think she's a real life witch. Although we do get a lot of emails for the Weird Whatever podcast. Wiccan witches? So is that what
Wiccans.
They call Wiccans? Yeah, we have a lot of Wiccans that listen to the program that claim to be real life witches. Now, if you have an evil witch in your life, mm-hmm. how does one try to get them out, get them to shoo, to scram, to lessen their powers?
So interesting enough, when I was researching this, apparently witches attack people through bad dreams, which ironically you have a lot of bad dreams.
I do.
So one of the things they said is you have to collect pebbles with holes and you have to make like this thing to put on your window. But in terms of what you should wear and what you should have around witches is iron.
I did read that. I read iron is a big, it's like the kryptonite for witches.
Hmm. Yeah. Like there's something in the substance of it. And that's what they were saying with pebbles is that, flintstones that it has like a spongy core. So it collects all the bad energy, but iron, it repels and absorbs like their energy per se.
Do we believe in witches here on the podcast? Denny's, are you
witchcraft?
Could there be someone that legit gets involved in witchcraft, dedicates it, goes full for gorilla, sure. and they move the needle?
I think there's a lot. I mean, you could also boil all sorcery, witchcraft, any of that stuff. You could boil it down to the power of prayer as well. I mean, you're trying to cause an incantation on somebody.
Okay, but, you know, I get what you're saying. But,
I mean, like, the way that I like it in fantasy novels where you got, like, the cauldron and you're building spells. I mean, I don't know. I think you could probably influence through just, I mean, kind of like The Secret.
Power of intention.
The power of just the will.
But I feel like witches do it right away. Sometimes, in the sense that
I feel like they gotta collect hair and then boil it and then fucking wait for like a full moon.
I guess it depends, because I think people viewed witches, you know, Wiccans, as people who just were healers. Like anytime a woman was like able to heal someone because they knew how plants worked or anything, they were a witch. And I think it's just the power of science, psychology. I do think some people are more, they have like a empathetic, like Vicky, for example, has psychic abilities, and that can be considered witchy, but unfortunately, I don't think anyone's going to Hogwarts or brewing.
I'm sorry. A quick quiz. Who sings this song? Ooh, witchy woman.
Witchy woman, is that the Eagles?
Bam! Denny's! Birdney, Beckett, where the shit the
best,
are you?
I had the best Eagles, know. Dog.
All right. Witchy Woman, my least favorite Eagles song.
It's not my favorite either.
I hate that song.
They got some bangers.
Eagles just played somewhere. I think the Eagles just played in New York City. They're still touring. It's
the
amazing.
Eagles are. It's amazing a lot of these older bands. I feel like a lot of those 60s, 70s, and some of the 80s bands, for whatever reason, they tapped into a formula and a chemistry that are timeless songs. They still play them.
Hold up.
You would think Journey. It's 1987. I mean, they still sell out. People go ape shit for Journey, and they don't even have Steve Perry.
They probably love it, because if you think about it, they were in retirement for a little bit. Now they're probably itching to like go out and jam. It's got to be awesome.
It's nostalgic too. Like, especially if it was a big band, like in their like really impressionable years, like anywhere from teenager, your 20s, and it's like a band that you just like put the 8-track in, and you just like hammered it out.
I get that, but why did those bands fall off? You don't have that many. You have so many bands that are still touring from the 60s, 70s, and early 80s that get massive sold-out arenas that have classics still playing on the air, and then all of a sudden you get to the late 90s, other than your boy band and some novelty rap. There's so many bands that never get played. They're not considered classic. They had great songs, but they just went away to the side. It's weird how that happened.
Yeah. Sometimes things have to go away for it to become classic. And I don't know, like a good analogy, like
Coca-Cola,
like Art Deco in Miami Beach. Like they wanted to demo all of Art Deco on Miami Beach. They thought it was the ugliest thing. When they built it, they thought it was the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. And everyone wanted to demo it was the ugliest thing ever. And then after more decades passed, everyone's like, wait, this is historic. Like this is actually kind of cool, like and gorgeous. Like that was like one of the things that they're saying. Did you hear that? Someone said, hey.
It's Chewy.
Oh, I thought someone...
I was like...
He's a ghost for a second.
He's in another room. I may have to go check on him. You guys are going to have to take the reins in a second. To let everybody know, if you could, please like our YouTube podcast. It'd be great. We already have one dick face disliking us. Probably a... Oh, we got our food. Hey, Bergney or Denny's. You know, Denny's, will you try to talk this person in to doing an interview? We ordered some food. I want to do a little social experiment. Is there any way we can get our delivery person to... I just want to see what their thoughts are on the aliens and UFOs. Oh, we're hard to find. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Never mind. So sometimes when you try things live, it doesn't go well, and it turns very awkward.
Oh, wow. What was that?
I think he had a hoarse voice, unfortunately. Yeah. He was doing, yeah, I think
he had like a broken arm and stuff.
He had a broken arm, and I think he had a broken voice.
Didn't know where we were.
Probably
he had like three bags to deliver.
Right. Worst time to ever try to kind of go off the cuff. All right, so that didn't work out good.
They're all from like Uber Eats type of scenarios.
Maybe we'll edit that out.
That guy was so banged up, I didn't want to bring him in.
What does a delivery dude complain to you as soon as you open the door?
It happens a lot, Beckett.
With
actually.
The Uber Eats, it's quite common.
It does really? Happen a lot. So if you are following at home, I know we put this up on the audio, and sometimes it gets a little visual here. We just had a delivery driver come to the door. We were going to try to do an impromptu interview.
I made the judgment call.
He didn't have a voice. He had a broken arm.
He didn't know what he was missing out on.
Denny said he had a scar on his neck.
He had a giant scar on his neck, yeah.
So holy shit, that was not good, Bird. Did not go well.
I have a question. When did the delivery flip in terms of the attitude? Because it used to be that it was the person ordering the delivery that had all the power against the delivery person. Remember at Domino's, it was in the Ninja Turtles, pizza dudes got 30 seconds if it was less than 30 minutes.
30 minutes or free.
Then it got to your house and you got to pay less or it was free or whatever the deal was. And then at some point, all of a sudden, delivery guys were like, psh, all right, here's your stuff.
So with the chance of sounding old, I'm going to go on the record. It sounds like I complain a lot, but I think you get to an age, you're like, screw this, I got something to say.
Yeah.
I will say, I feel like, I mean, I'm 42, I'm not that old. Customer service is a dying art.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near how it was even 10 years ago. I don't think that's an age thing. I don't think I'm out of touch because of that. I think manners and I think customer service has gone to shit. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree.
And Bertney, how old are you?
30 in a week.
Oh, dirty 30.
Oh, yeah.
We got to have a party.
Are having a party.
We are having a party. That's what we talked about that last week. I forget a lot. That's what happens when you drink.
It's all right.
But yeah, I just think, let us know in the chat room as well. Are manners, have they gone bye-bye, or is Burr just an old fuck?
Manners and service, right? Like it's the
manners and service. Yeah. I mean that manners within the service industry is really what I mean.
I think it's partially our fault, though, too, because I don't think people go out as often as they did. Now people are ordering in much more, so they're having to lay off more workers.
Get out of my house.
I'm just saying. It's on everybody's fault. Remember Toys R Us closed? Everybody was bummed out. But if you didn't want Toys R Us to close, just go shop there.
Yeah, we do live in the time of we're sad in the moment, but what did you do to not make that sad?
Yeah, the place still just closed.
And the other thing that I think is interesting is 20% has become normal. Like if you don't tip 20%, like
you're a dick.
People get mad. And so I think, you know, at least how I feel, unless the service is exceptionally bad, it's just an automatic thing to give 20. And I've worked in the mm-hmm. service industry when I was mm-hmm, young. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, I get how difficult and challenging it can be. So I'm always a good tipper. But, like, the 20% thing just seems to be an automatic thing. So, like, now I feel like waiters in the service industry, it's like they just have to be good or okay, not bad. And you're going to give them 20%. So I feel like the incentives changed a little bit, too.
So the chat room's got some good perspective here. Some people say, you know what? The customers got more rude and demanding. And, that's possible, too. It's a great point. We live in...
Is it Yelp? You think it did it?
Well, we live in the remote control, I want it now, on demand. I can't wait. Oh, there's a 10-second commercial. I mean, if you had a 10-second commercial in this podcast alone, people are so used to no commercials. Let's say we, God willing, that'd be great if we could get a 10-second commercial for this podcast. But if we did, 20% of people would bitch, moan, email, be so mad about that.
Totally.
I mean, we live in that time where people are, I want it now, and I feel like I'm just... I mean, you see some of these videos on YouTube when people get into an Uber or a Lyft, and my gosh... They think that person's their personal chauffeur for life and they can talk down to them. Some people do have that mentality. So I think that's a great point. I believe that was Yvette in the chat room. Society's made us prickier as well.
Yeah, I agree. But I will say that I think the only reason that you feel that way and I feel that way is because we remember how it used to be. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're it's not like our expectations have risen. It's more that we've had great service. And especially, you know, when we were younger and whatever, and now it seems like the sample size is getting more and more not good, if that makes sense.
I like this comment from Tyler in the chat room. People just suck more now in general.
That's true.
Well, you think
I think that's always been that way.
Well, I think everybody always thinks the generation before them
100%
screwing up the way things are now, and they think that you screwed up for things in the future.
Right.
It's the age-old tale.
Without a doubt.
It does not change.
Do you think companies are taking advantage of people now? Because I agree that we're getting more rude, but at the same time, I remember if you were nice and you were like, hey, this happened to me, is there any way you can compensate me? And they used to be like, oh, like an airline, for example, here's a free ticket. Or if I remember when I had a Delta Gold card and complimentary every year, I would get two tickets because I had this credit card. Now I feel with everything, they're just like, no, you get nothing. Yeah. Like, you it's get probably, points.
But that actually makes me think the chat room comment actually makes sense, because people used to have a loyalty and allegiance to an airline.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to, too. Like, I used to fly Delta all the time. Mm-hmm. Now I go on Kayak. And it's whatever flight gives me the best times and the best price. And then I go.
It's because it's the least expensive.
Right. And it's become a two-way street. So now, you know, before you used to have an allegiance and a loyalty to a brand, to an airline, those kind of things. And it was like a two-way street. Now I think that nowadays you're like, hey, whatever's going to fill this need in the short term, like, I'm in, you know?
Well, then people get mad there's no, like, food served on there and stuff, but they're getting the cheapest ticket possible.
Right.
It's weird.
Fly New York City back and forth for $180.
Yeah, they can't afford to pay their staff and accommodate everybody's needs. So it's a weird place that we're in. I blame it all on the smartphone, because last time I was flying at the airport, every single person's on their smartphone, right? I seen workers. This is the only time I've ever seen in history where people are allowed to have something entertainment at work. Every job I ever go to, any place I go to in town, if I'm at Publix, if I'm at Target, if I'm at a store, everybody's always on their phone, employees included, everybody, at all times.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's wild. So when I was just in New York City, they had a British Airways gave a Concorde. And I don't know if everyone remembers the Concorde. Concorde flew twice the speed of sound between Paris and New York and D.C. and London, 2 hours and 40 minutes. Phil Collins, if you guys remember Live Aid concert, he did.
Come on, baby. Are you going to tell the Philadelphia, England story?
So do you? I didn't know this. I did the tour of the Concorde. They have it there, right there.
I'm doing the rolling eye emoji right now. I'm just kidding.
But a lot of listeners might not know. He was.
You're completely right. They definitely.
He was able, because of the time change and because of the speed of the Concorde, to perform Live Aid in England and then be able to perform the exact same time of the exact same day of this whole same concert New York because of it. It's absolutely amazing. But point of the story is that what happened was, is because of smartphones, business people said, hey, it was worth a $10,000 ticket to be able to go meet with that person, shake his hand, whatever, in London to close the deal. And then when smartphones came out, we're like, we need to Skype in the back of a taxi in a conference room. And that totally gave the justification or the value proposition of Concorde away. So that's why they had to stop flying.
People watch concerts now on social media.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. They don't even go to the events. And then, you know, then they're mad that the venues are getting smaller. People aren't playing.
Tickets are more expensive.
Right. Yeah, tickets are like $400. You're like, oh my gosh.
Let's change gears here. I've got an email from Doug who said, hey, did you guys hear Joe Rogan talking about space trash on his podcast? It's pretty interesting. Y'all should talk about it. Do you guys know about space trash?
They leave all that stuff up there.
Just a little bit.
It's pretty crazy. And me and you were kind of talking about it, Denny's. And I asked you a question. I thought it was kind of dumb. I'm like, so are we ever threatened by space trash falling to Earth? You're like, I don't think so.
Not unless something hits it.
There's several cases of space trash falling to Earth.
But no, it's like probably like 10 over the course of the last like 40 years.
I mean, it's still, there's still shit falling down. You're right. It's not that many. It's probably 10 instances. But
you're, I guess you're right. If something plinked it, it could totally come into orbit.
Well, in 1969, 5 sailors on a Japanese ship were injured by space debris. I mean, I'm just saying.
But is that space trash?
It is. It was considered.
Or is it meteorites that hit it?
It was considered space trash. So what's your definition of space trash?
So space trash would have to be something left up there. Like, so when they fly into space, that rocket that's attached that drops or whatever, like any of that stuff that gets left up there, they just leave it satellites.
They have old satellites.
Like, yeah, totally.
So much shit up there.
Tons
and it's all
of
just
stuff.
Hovering out there.
Yeah,
going around.
Well, think about this. In sci-fi movies, whenever somebody dies, they like jettison their coffin out into space, right? Think about how messed up that is, though, because it's frictionless. So it would go infinitum until it hits something, which is probably a planet, right? So you're just chilling, and a freaking body explodes on you. Like, how messed up is that?
That is messed up.
Well, what would be more alarming for you? You're chilling in your bed, and a sinkhole takes you down. You're like, shit! Or you're chilling in your bed, and a fucking satellite comes through your window.
Oh, jeez. You ever see that movie Donnie Darko?
Yeah, as I was thinking about with the airplane.
That's like, dude, a freaking jet falls off an airplane and it lands in his room and kills him.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, well, guess we'll have to watch that movie back then.
It's the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. I think that would be quicker, though. Like, you would just die. Like, with a sinkhole, you could still be alive even after and be stuck, and that would really suck.
You said you'd rather have the satellite than the...
If we're talking about dying, right?
Yeah.
Like, if something kills me...
Yeah, we'll talk about dying.
Well, suffocation, yeah. Man. You would sink into the ground and suffocate. That's way worse than just getting blown up by a jet engine.
I'm going to take sinkhole only because I feel like I want that last moment. You got this, bird. You got a chance, bird. I want a chance. Even though I'm not going to get
that when you lost all hope. You don't know how long that's going to be that you're sitting in.
I think I'm going to – I won't lose hope to that last second, bird knee.
Okay. That's admirable.
Keep in mind, I did watch Rocky 3.
So you're
two
riding
nights
high.
Ago. I'm big time. They're inspirational. Back
which here. One's the three?
Mr. T.
Yeah.
Mr. T.
You have any predictions for the fight? Predictions? Pain.
You're pretty good, man.
Yeah, I mean, not to keep on, you know, beating a dead horse, Denny's, but I mean.
I guess space trash could come down.
1997, space trash incident. 2001, space trash incident.
What
you're
is
on
it?
On Earth.
Were all these people, like, were people hurt?
No, I mean, it wasn't. No one's died from space trash, but.
Well, I stand corrected. I didn't realize there's so many cases.
That is crazy. They just go out into space and just leave shit out there.
Well, I guess because they don't care. They don't think about it. It's back in the old West. They used to just throw trash on the ground. That's when, you know, it got a modern campaign to go to clean up the streets.
Like the late 60s, people were like, oh my gosh, these roads look like shit.
New York City looks awful.
Sure.
Dude, the trash, people used to throw it, there's no law.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of old movies lately that is late 60s, early 70s, and for some reason, I'm watching a lot of New York movies, and they all talk the same thing. The streets are disgusting. There's piss and shit everywhere.
It's still like that.
Is it? Is New York not?
It's better, but this summer is a special time of year because you could just smell the streets.
Jen was just driving the other day, and some woman was duking at the corner, man. So
where?
Just like 3 days ago.
Where was this at?
Lake Worth-ish.
Yeah. I mean, me and Sweet Denny's, when we were living in Broward, we had a red light. I'm just kind of chilling. All of a sudden, I see this guy walk up. He looked like he had something on his mind. And he grabs the light pole. I mean, it's like 3 p.m. It's
hangs off it.
He grabs the pole like that, squats down. Now, mind you, there's bathrooms all around this place.
And this is rush hour.
He just drops a loaf right then and there in front of everybody. Jeez. And you're like, wow, fascinating. Attention getter.
Did he wait?
You know, it turned
green. I think
green.
He was still going. Yeah, it turned green and he was still
green.
Going.
So we did not
thank
finish.
God.
Yeah, we didn't get that part due.
Yeah.
It's crazy when you see stuff like that.
Yes. It was crazy. You just grabbed the pole and let it go.
Let it go.
That's something you were talking earlier. You were teasing things that will never leave your mind. That image will never leave my mind.
I saw a picture today. It was a frog or a toad, and it had swallowed a snake. and the snake is struggling to get out of its trachea. I'm not going to lie. I can't get that out of my head. That was one of those ones.
Are you the snake or the frog?
Both of them. It looked like it sucked for both parties. I don't think I'd want a snake in my throat, and I wouldn't want to be in a throat. All right, what's yours? What do you have? Something you've seen in your life it's burned. It could be a picture. It could be an incident. It could be a moment that you're like, shit, I'll never, ever get that out of my mind.
I seen somebody die in a motorcycle accident.
Ugh, that's a rough
one. I was just sitting at the light, and it happened next to me.
They got hit?
Yeah. I don't have to go into details unless you want. Yeah. The details are rough, by the way. I don't really want to ruin anyone's evening.
Yeah, it's awful. Becca, what do you got?
Birthing picture. I think that was like...
Was it your own birth?
Typical man, Becca.
How bummed would you be to watch your own birth?
I feel like it's something I should be better about. I've actually have friends that are married that say that have had kids, like, don't be on a certain side of the table when the birth happens. To me, like, that's like intense. But it's like a dramatic, bloody but beautiful thing at the same time, and it's like a weird conflict of mindset for me, if that makes sense.
I got in so much trouble in college. I think I was freshman or sophomore year. I had to be a sophomore because it was down in Broward, and they were talking about, you know, birthing and all that stuff, and they showed a clip of it, and I said that it looked like baked ziti, and oh my gosh, the teacher was so pissed off at me.
Really?
I would have given you a high five.
Yeah, it's like, wait, no.
Yeah, for
it
real.
Looked like baked ziti.
Lasagna.
A beautiful miracle baked ziti. By the way, when I call something baked ziti, that's a compliment.
I love baked ziti.
I love baked ziti. All right, we shouldn't be
talking. I'm a noodle man.
You've always been a noodle man.
I am. I won't apologize for it either.
It's weird. Birdie, you're an educator. Now, if a kid wants to be kind of a smart aleck and say a quip, do you judge them for that, or do they actually get extra points in your mind?
It depends what they're saying, but I'll probably be sarcastic back. Like, I'll quip back at them and just kind of be like, oh, you thought you could outsmart me. Well, there's this.
But what grade are you teaching?
I teach fourth grade.
So do you have to be very disciplinarian or just...
It depends. You know, like, if they're in fourth grade and they're saying something sexual, then you can't be like, yeah, high five. Like,
they do that in fourth grade?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I have many stories.
Denise, do you remember? I don't know if we did that in fourth grade. Did you do that in fourth grade? I don't know that I was, like, sexually, like,
no.
Talking about fourth anything in fourth grade.
I think they start teaching sex ed in, like, fifth grade, right?
No, I think it's middle school.
In fourth grade, we teach human anatomy, but I think because of the internet and social media and online gaming.
Yeah, I think people learn faster now. I had to, like, sneak magazines.
So the slider has changed, like, down to fourth?
Oh, yeah, like, I
think Jen even says, and she teaches younger.
I've caught kids watching memes of, like, BJs and stuff like that in fourth grade.
What?
And she teaches fourth grade?
Damn. Fourth grade? And see, that's what I'm talking about, Dennis.
I didn't have sex ed until, I think, eighth grade. Eighth grade, I was Boca Middle.
I think it's fifth grade.
Boca Middle had sex ed in eighth grade.
It was seventh grade for me, Hal Watkins. It was health class. And the first thing they showed us, I remember, it was like day two. Okay, guys, here's a picture of herpes. I'm like, what the shit?
Yeah, right?
You always got to lead with herpes.
They led with herpes with us in seventh
good.
Grade.
It'll scare that's you.
Yeah, it scared me.
Yeah, I mean, you're still talking about it.
It was no big ZD.
Oh.
It's rough to think about that. That's why your teacher got mad.
You're right.
It's such a rough image.
It's absolutely out of line, and I was such a smart ass back in college. I did want to bring back the segment, what is going positively in your life this week? Give me something unique, something specific. Not, oh, I love my mom. Oh, she's great. Something that's unique to this week that you are blessed or feeling positive about. Let's start with Denny's.
Positive about, well, so
let's start with Birdney.
No, I'd say I've been kind of getting back into kind of like what you got going on here. I've been getting back into things I was into when I was younger. As of recent, in the last
it's definitely a midlife crisis. And it happens it starts in your mid 30s. You're in your late 30s.
Well, I think what happens is
mid late 30s.
you start hitting that career point in your life, right? So you can start saving up and buying little odds and ends. So you start surrounding yourself with things that make you comfortable. And my theory is in the future that everybody's going to kind of, as sad as it is, kind of like the ending of that movie WALL-E, where everybody lives isolated from each other. Because, I mean, it's easy, and you have all your accommodations and things that make you comfortable.
Go ahead and expand on that, because I've never seen WALL-E.
So
what do you mean?
They kind of cartoonize the fact that society is leading to a point where, so at the end of that movie, they hyperbolize humans. They're all a little bit overweight. They're in these contraptions that have every accommodation. It's a moving chair, so they don't have to walk anymore. They just float around. Robots do everything for them, so humans can just enjoy life purely. So the downside of that is that humans lose, you know, sight of humanity. They lose sight of their form. And I guess the overall lesson, not to spoil the movie for anyone, but it reteaches humanity, I guess, in a movie. It's a pretty cool movie because the beginning has no dialogue.
I love
it. It's all just sound effects.
I love it, Denny's.
That was a pretty good movie if anyone hasn't seen WALL-E.
Giving me goosebumps over
But, like,
there.
You wonder because...
WALL-E's great.
I've never seen you so emotional.
Well,
it's a good movie.
There's a recent game that came out, Death Stranding. I think you saw me playing it. But the concept is people live underground now, and the only thing that is, you know, communication between anyone is if somebody has to drop off a package or something. Other than that, you don't see anyone. We're kind of moving to that way where people are now getting food delivered. We had restaurant food delivered, you know?
Who's excited for that food?
I'm stoked.
I haven't even eaten all day. I'm famished.
I haven't eaten all day. I'm so hungry. Birdie, what's going on in your life? And the reason why, not to cut you off, but the reason why we're doing this kind of thing, I am a big believer of positive thinking. I know I'm very guilty of not doing it daily, and I think it takes work to always try to be positive, no matter who you are and where you're at in life. I think we all get in moods. I think we're built, we're just a big pile of moods.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes for some people, it's tough work to stay positive, i.e. your situation or just your own mental stability at that time. I think sometimes we don't know why we act or the way we process things. I think that's just how we are as a species.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think hitting the reset button and being proactive of just saying, all right, let me try to pick out one thing positive and focus on that for a couple minutes, and then let me get back to my bitching. Look, I'm guilty of bitching. I'm guilty of having negative thoughts. I want to try to get back to being very positive and looking at positive moments when they are there. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason for this segment. Mm-hmm. A few people go, well, why are you guys doing that? Well, that's the reason why.
Yeah.
I think it's a great – I think all that self-help – I'm good in the mirror. I think it works. I think it does help. As silly and goofy as you may feel, you're the only person you're going to be with your entire life.
That's true.
That's true.
Birdney.
So I have two quick things. The first thing is I'm excited because this week I booked my trip to New Zealand over the summer.
New Zealand.
That's like my 30th birthday gift to myself was doing the Lord of the Rings tour. So I've been saving.
Oh, you're going to walk the mountains to Mordor?
I saved. So I've been saving money for the last year and a half. Like, I have a little jar where I put all my tutoring money. It's an expensive trip because it's 2 weeks and they pay for like the hotel and food. So I have enough money and I was able to do that. And then the second thing is that I used to play piano a little bit, but like just the other night I was like, you know what? I really want to learn more about like continue playing again. So I went and bought like a cheap keyboard and I was just playing music for hours the other night, and
that's awesome.
It brings something back.
I love it. Those are great answers, Beckett. You got big old shoes to fill. I'm not saying big old shoes like you have big fat feet, Brittany. That's not what I meant.
That's a tough act to follow. It's a tough act to follow. But I would say that it might sound small, but I actually think it's huge because in a person's life, when you can turn the corner and change the course of a current. And I think that, you know, I wasn't depressed, but like I was like kind of in a funk and whatever. And in the last week, I think that I finally kind of got back to, you know, waking up and going to the gym, you know, doing certain routines, mm-hmm. you know.
Crushing it. Fucking fries and try.
Right? But like, you know, in certain things with work and certain things in, you know, your own routine kind of getting back. So sometimes you get on like kind of crisis mode and you just kind of focus on things that need to get focused on. And then when you get back to a baseline, you kind of hit your stride again. Even though you're not maybe not at exactly your highest point where you want to be, there's something, you know, we've talked about hope and momentum and things like that. There's something great about changing the current, the tide, and going in the right direction. And I think the last week has been that.
I love it. Great answers, my friends.
Yeah.
Great answers.
What about you?
For me, I would say, honestly, the fact that my dog Chewy is almost back to, he's like 99% normal.
Awesome.
I when he was down and out the last 2 weeks, it really affected my mood. It affected my work. It affected everything. And honestly, nobody gives a shit. I mean, people care about your drama.
I
they
care.
Do. Your close people do. But, I mean, you still have deadlines. People don't give a shit.
Mm.
Your work doesn't care if you have a sick dog. They just don't care.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's finally acting normal and better. Look, I'm not an idiot here when it comes to this situation. I know he's older. I know that I don't have that much time with him. But the fact that, because I really thought he was going to die. I didn't know what happened to him. The fact that I have more time with Chewy and I can actually be present and enjoy those moments, I'm very thankful for that. And that really kind of started happening this week. So
that's
great. Yeah. Pet problems are tough.
Tough.
Because they can't fucking talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really tough. It is. And I
wish you could just explain it to
me. I struggle big time because this is probably the first dog that I am legit. I mean, he's a special.
Cared for.
Yeah, well, he's a special needs dog, so I'm in it every second. So I have a different kind of love for Chewy, mm-hmm. and it's amazing that his health dictates my mood.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine a child? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Having
yeah.
a kid.
That's intense.
And going through some bullshit. That's...
But the beauty of that is that Chewy's teaching you something too. He's teaching you like how like you're being extra empathic because he cannot talk. So you're becoming more sensitive to his feelings, if that makes sense. That's a beautiful thing. And the fact that he gets to live his best yeah. life because of you is like another beautiful thing. So there's not only you, it's like a two-way street of beneficial, whatever the word is, being benefiting.
I love it. Let's check out the chat room. A lot of great positive comments. 3 dislikes.
Damn.
Over what?
All 3 of
Beckett,
my accounts.
What do you got to say to those motherfuckers who are still listening right now?
I think I only laughed 3 times.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, you're right. So the dislike, let's go around the room of why there could be dislikes. We've got overly loud Beckett laughs. That's definitely a dislike.
That's one.
Jaybird interrupting people, talking too long and too loud. That's 2. No Vicky.
Yeah.
We have a new woman trying
My
to
face.
Take her spot. Right. That's 3.
You think it was the booby talk?
Could be booby talk. There could be a...
These conservatives came on.
Or just a feminist that's so mad at you, Beckett, for just your fucking...
You guys said moist.
We said moist. That could be 5.
But we decided moist was better.
Then we gave even worse words.
Yeah. It was all rough.
Saturated.
All right, 3. This is one of our most disliked podcasts to date.
That's good.
Wait, 3?
You
that's
told,
pretty
you,
good.
You told me earlier...
How many likes?
You told me early on the Bachelor podcast that you know you are doing well when people are hating.
Agreed. So we have 54 people watching right now, Birdney.
Okay, that's pretty
Imagine
good.
Imagine if they all hit the like button.
That's a passing grade, though, if the Rishi is a passing grade.
Yeah.
Again, though, I just love to know who these dislike motherfuckers are. I'm so Italian.
I'll find them all. I'll make them pay.
Exactly. You son of a bitch.
I was just curious why they, like, who
You think
you're
better
like...
than me?
You drug on me?
That's great.
I love it. Okay, so a couple more things I want to go before we end the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We've got Sarah from Lake Worth asking this. I know Denny's is married, but what's the deal with everyone else on the podcast?
Oh, snap.
Are all you single or do you have a partner? Are you just dating or are you just single? If you are a single weirdo that wants to get with a single person from the podcast, how would one do that?
Oh.
Would it be possible for a weird whatever date? Asking for a friend, and she's very horny. That's a true email. Sarah from Lake Worth.
Wow, look at that.
What's Denny's, orientation?
Denny's, you are...
I'm all wifed up.
Denny's all wifed up. Yes, Bird Day, we can go into orientation. We can go into likes, preferences. Beckett, what's your situation right now? Or is it complicated?
Nah, it's always complicated. If you're married,
are you single?
You're married, it's complicated.
Are you single right this second?
I think you're single until you're married. I'm dating.
That's a bad answer.
Oh my God, what a
That's right. That's the truth.
Don't ever say that to anyone you're dating.
Hold on. I just want to go. I just want to give you a second to rethink your answer. All right, hold on. Take 3 seconds.
All right.
I just want to take 3 seconds.
I'm prepared for you asking me this.
Beckett shoots from the hip.
All right, 3, 2, 1. All right, so, Beckett, what's your situation? Are you single? What's going on?
I'm dating.
What was that whole thing about you being married? And
married?
You're single until you're married?
Well, I think that, well, when you go on the census or I'm checking a form.
No,
usually,
no, we're not doing.
It's single, divorce, married.
It's by the law.
Doing, it doesn't, there's no, it's complicated. It's no, I'm dating someone.
You
it's
never
no,
say you're a, in a relationship.
Not like a promise ring. Not on a
domestic
form.
Domestic partnership.
Matters of the heart. What are you?
Matters of the heart.
Meaning, I mean, no census. I mean, are you running for office?
I might be actually one day.
I knew it. I think we all knew that.
I was surprised.
Yeah, I think we all knew that. I want to be that one friend that, like, you knew Pennington. What's your dealings with this guy?
On the Weird Just Whatever Podcast. Just watch the podcast.
The shadiness. Okay, so you are saying, do you really believe that, though? If you are, let's say I'm dating a woman for 3 years, and she's just my girlfriend. Yeah. And I don't mean just my girlfriend in a slight. I'm just saying we're boyfriend, girlfriend. We're not fiance. We're not married. Am I still technically single, according to a Beckett? If I go to Reno for a weekend and I meet somebody who I think I really hit it off, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime chance, in your opinion, do you take that opportunity? Are you single?
I think that if I think that that's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, then yes, I break up with the person I'm dating and go be with that person. I mean, I'm a pretty loyal guy to a fault, but if I have those feelings, I think, as far as I know and I believe, you go around the sun, you know, basically however many years you live in this lifetime, and I don't know if you come back or whatever. So the goal is to be happy. And if I think I have a soulmate out there and I've been dating someone for 2 months or 2 years.
2 years now. 2 years. That's a chunk. That's half your college.
But in that scenario, I feel like then I don't feel like the person I'm with is my soulmate. Right?
But you didn't know that until all of a sudden a woman walks into the bar and you hear va 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 boom. That happens. Now can't you in a situation like that, lust plays a very tricky game. It makes you question. It makes you. Not loyal. Lust is a motherfucker.
I would never do it because of lust. I would do it because I thought that the connection of, because the context you originally gave, I would say, like, that's my soulmate, like, that's my person, whatever. Then I believe in that. Because I've had relationships that have been 2 months that I think it's my person, and I've been in a relationship with 2 years that I stayed way longer than I thought I should, that I knew it wasn't my person.
Denny's, are we going to get emails from people that calling Beckett a pig from his stance?
No, I think he's fine.
I think if
let's ask the woman in
He's
the
just speaking
on
his
the
mind.
Podcast now.
Well, we're getting to you, Brittany. I figured you had something to say. I thought Denny's had more to say.
If I jump for the lust thing, I could see how that would be a problem.
But I think I'm just saying. I think lust disguises itself. I think lust is like the devil, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm talking on the sense of the devil disguises itself, thinking it's going to help you play guitar
right.
or help you do this. Or you think, oh, this is great. I'm questioning my loved one back home. I think lust has that allure that does play a little trippy with your dippy dippy.
I agree with that.
All right.
Nice turn of phrase.
Thank you, Denny's. Birdie, the woman.
So you would never say you're in a relationship with someone unless you were married to them?
No. I mean, now we're just playing semantics, though, right?
I think you guys...
I think you're avoiding the question.
I think me and Denny's are going to take a timeout. I would like Birdney to cross-examine that ass.
But I'm in a relationship with everything. Like, I'm in a relationship with everyone here.
So if you were with someone for, like, a year... You would just say, this is someone I'm dating. You wouldn't say, this is my girlfriend anything.
I would say girlfriend. I would say in a relationship.
Okay, then why were you avoiding saying that?
Well, I'm defending all the other people that have a similar
But why? Why do they need defending?
Because I've been in multiple scenarios where, like, if you aren't shouting from the rooftop, that's why Facebook, think about the research that Facebook does. There's a reason they added it's complicated. Because everyone thinks that there's always a black and white A or B box. And it's not always the case. Like, sometimes, like, you have certain situations where you've been together with someone for 6 months and...
Anyone in this room think that if someone's in a complicated relationship, that's actually working or a healthy relationship?
Can you break that down in more of a dumber term? Because I've had a couple whiskeys.
So on Facebook, you can have it's complicated, which means that you're kind of seeing someone, but you're open to someone else.
By the way, that person's so annoying.
They are annoying because let's just face it, you're not supposed to be with that person. Like, it's either every relationship has problems in it. Like, nothing's perfect, but you either work through them or you're not right for each other. And if you're at that point where you're literally saying it's complicated on social media, which Bird just said is super annoying because no one cares. Like, they're just going to be like, you're not supposed to be with that person.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're in right now?
Well, so what if you're in an open
someone's saying this, Beckett.
What if you're in an open relationship?
And you say that. I mean, I believe
that's
that some people.
That's not a thing you can put on Facebook.
I think you can.
Well, I mean, I think James Taylor said it best. Fuck Facebook.
Yes. Yeah.
Or was it fuck MySpace?
I think it was Facebook.
All right.
Both of them.
Is that from Funny People?
Christina is saying, why are you trying to be
politically correct?
Politically correct. Yeah, say what you feel. Yeah.
No, I'm not trying to be politically correct. I just think that there's many shades of gray, and I think that relationships can have their own growth phase and shrinking phase, and it doesn't always have to be all in, all out. It could be versions of in between.
But do you think that's healthy?
Yeah, so long as it's not stagnant. If
now, the one thing I will say that I do agree with Beckett, which is not a lot on this particular situation, but I do think on each situation in life, no matter what it is, whether it's somebody getting into a fight with their friend or a breakup or someone cheated on somebody, everything is so specific to that one situation where there is a gray.
Yeah.
You could never call anything black or white. There's always details. That's why I really believe there's not one man that speaks for all men, and there's not one woman who speaks for all women, because everyone's layered. Everyone's got a different opinion on things.
Well, there's a couple that had a kid, and then they, you know, decided that their marriage was going to take a break, and they're going to separate and whatever. Like, you know, that's when it's not just a man not willing to commit, but that's when it's like a weird situation. So if that guy is out and she's like, well, what's your situation? That's like a legitimate, not a cop-out, like it's complicated situation, wouldn't you say?
Well, I mean, I guess the one thing I would notice is, anyone notice how quiet Denny's has been for the entire situation?
This is one of the benefits of being married. You get to sit this one out.
You guys got a lot to say. You guys got a lot to say
Denny's,
about this.
To me, Denny's has the marriage that I would that's the one I would want. That's the marriage I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
I know plenty of people who are married that I just know they're not happy. They married somebody way too young, or they married the wrong person because they thought they were hot, and they don't think they're hot anymore. And I tell you, even if you think someone's hot, boy, that shit does get old. If you can't connect, if you can't play tiddlywinks with a motherfucker and enjoy it together, or Etch-A-Sketch, have an Etch-A-Sketch night, Beckett.
Right.
Agreed.
If you guys are not on the same page, if one wants to play Etch-A-Sketch and one wants to go to the club, I think you're doomed.
Well, I think that the big human challenge in relationships is, when are you giving up too easy and being shallow? And when are you staying in and working too hard for something with someone that's not your person? And there's where you strike the balance is kind of like a moving target for people, and all people have different opinions. So, you know, so people are like, oh, well, I'm going to accept they're bad because I love them and blah, blah, blah. But maybe you're just aren't meant for that person.
Yeah, it's not bad if you're just not meant for each other. You could have two healthy, good people that are just not right for each other.
But what if you don't believe in meant to be?
You mean like if you're a person who just believes in the now and you don't really believe in having significant other and
so if you don't
someone?
Believe in
I feel like this is kind of like a therapy session right now.
Well, I'm saying, like, so what if you don't believe in the scenario where, oh, well,
there's like a soulmate.
It didn't happen because it wasn't meant to be, you know?
I think there's some people that believe that. Yeah. And I think there's some people that believe in soulmates.
But I'm not shitting on people that believe that. But I'm saying, what if you don't believe that?
I think you're okay with that, too.
Yeah,
I think I don't know if I definitely do not believe in one soulmate. I thought I did when I was younger. I believe in soulmates. For example, I always use Denny's as my example. Me and Denny are soulmates. We're meant to be in each other's lives. I don't want to fuck Denny's, but I have such a kinship to him where he can walk into a room or I can walk into a room without saying anything. I know if he's annoyed, he knows if I'm annoyed. With that to me is a soulmate. Even if we get on each other's nerves, at the end of the day, we have each other's backs.
Right.
That's a soulmate. And I feel like you can have that with several people. Now, that does not give you an excuse to go cheat and have sex with a bunch of people. I think I'm a big believer if you find the right person, you should be committed to that person and not fuck them over. If not, as painful as it may be, you tell them you are not ready for a relationship. Mm-hmm. They may not get the reason why. Yeah. And in fact, 90% of the times they won't understand why you want to be alone. But that's at least better than...
So you don't believe in open relationships?
I personally don't... I don't...
It's probably not for everyone.
It's not for me. I just know I would be jealous. If I truly loved a woman and that was my girl, and she's my ride or die, and she wanted to go fuck some guy she met at a club... That would tear my soul apart. Yeah. I couldn't deal with that, dude. Right. There's no way I could deal with that.
Yeah.
You just have to be honest with the person. If someone's like that and the other person's like that, then that's great.
Then you're fine.
But yeah. You need to be on the same page.
I'm not judging the person that does that because I know
people do it.
Oh my gosh, we get plenty of people that are in a cuckold situation or a sharing situation or a swinger situation. And baby, if that's how you get through the night and everyone's cool with it. Fuck on.
I think the idea is good on paper. I think that it would be tough for it to work in practice. You know what I mean? The idea of it is, you know, can somehow academically or if you think about it make sense. But I think if you try to do it, I mean, I don't know of any successful situations. I mean, I'm sure they exist in some way. Yeah.
Well, I got a DM in my Twitter and said, okay, I thought this was the Weird and Whatever podcast. Why are you guys talking about relationship sappy bullshit? Tune out. I will tell that person, go listen to something else. We don't get paid for this.
It's February.
Yeah, it's February. It's the month of love.
Oh, yeah.
And go fuck yourself.
That was probably one of the dislikes.
Although, after I bitch and moan, it's down to only one dislike.
Oh, nice.
That one's tried and true, though.
You guys are so kind. I honestly want to say thank you to the audience. The people that listen to the Weird Whatever podcast, they are very diehard. They're very loyal, and we really do respect, love, and appreciate all of your time that you give us.
100%.
It really is awesome. You guys are pushing and keeping this podcast alive. And I know I keep saying it every year, but each year it's going to get a little bit better. Last year, our downloads increased by, 20%?
Yeah.
20% from the year before. You know, so thank you guys for all the love. If you do see us post anything, please share, like, comment, dislike. We don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I really am just kind of bullshit. If you want to dislike this shit, dislike it. Because you're right. If you're not making waves.
And tell us why.
You ain't making nothing, baby.
You ain't surfing.
You ain't surfing. What's going to be the audience question of the day? Let's see how good we are on our...
Yeah.
Maybe we should do the relationship one.
What would that be?
Despite that guy.
Okay, Beckett, you give the audience question of the week. Put that in the comment section below, in the comment section after the podcast is uploaded.
I think I'm going to make it a little bit more provocative and ask the audience the question about the open relationships, if that's cool with everyone. Like, do people think that so long as it's a mutual thing,
can an open relationship work?
Okay. Can an open relationship succeed? Be positive or negative? Give us the positive. Give us the negative of why you think it could work or could not work. I love it. I think it's a great question. Y'all, I wish we could keep on talking, but it's getting late and we are tired AF. Thank you guys for all of the support. We love you all. And
Bigfoot is real.
What was that? What's that sound? Where? It's aliens and they're living in your town. Damn. They have arrived. What? They're all around. Damn. So many aliens living in your town. Are you scared of aliens? Well, you should be.